This is With Intrepid Heart Sermons, sermons preached by Reverend Adam Moline at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. You can find our website at goodshepherdlincoln.org, and the texts for our sermons each week follow the historic one-year lectionary. Let's listen in to today's sermon. In the name of Jesus, amen. What do you think that it was that Jesus knew about men? What do you think it was that Jesus knew about all mankind and what it was that was inside of them? How could it be self-evident? In such a way that Jesus didn't have to ask people about who they were. What sort of thing is true about all people living here in this world? And so true, in fact, that Jesus knew that at that point, he could not entrust himself into their care. Did he know that the Pharisees were legalists, pietists, in that sense, who created countless rules and laws to obey? Rules and laws for the explicit purpose of showing other people how holy they were in comparison. Look at me compared to you. Was it that he knew that the Sadducees were so caught up in the sacerdotal worship in the temple, carrying out the rituals, that is, that they no longer cared about the average person who came to the temple? Again, a focus on me instead of the care and needs of others. Is it that Jesus knew that people wanted their religion and their faith to be subject to their own opinions, their own works, their own deeds? Is it that Jesus knew that people want to turn God into their servant rather than to serve him themselves? Did Jesus know that the average person who saw the signs that he did, instead of coming to the conclusion that he was the Christ, the Son of God, they saw him as their free meal ticket? Ah, he'll just provide bread whenever we're hungry. Did Jesus know that when they saw the signs that he did, they saw him as a doctor of sorts? Ah, when I get sick, I'll just come to Jesus, and he'll make me well again. Even if I die, he'll raise me so I can go about my own sinful business. What did Jesus know about these people that stopped him from entrusting himself to them? What was it? Don't you wonder? I mean, it'd be really nice if we could talk about those people from 2,000 years ago whom Jesus didn't touch, whom Jesus didn't trust. We could speak about them, but there's an important question that we must answer first. Is your heart any different than the hearts of those people from so long ago? Are there times when you act as a Pharisee, justifying yourself in your own mind by comparing yourself to the actions of others. Well, at least I don't sin like they do. Are there times where you act as a Sadducee, saying, well, at least I go to church. That's got to put me in a better camp than my neighbor who sleeps in every Sunday. Are there times where you seek to please God by the things that you deem are good rather than by what God says are good? Do you ever see Jesus as just some sort of a miracle worker? And if only you ask him in the right way and believe it with the right kind of heart, then he will make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Do you see Jesus as someone that you can manipulate and twist? Oh, Lord, I promise to do this if you first do this for me. Is your heart any different than those of old? Or is it the same? And if it's the same, what was in those people that is also in you? It's sin. All of those things that we spoke of are a result of sin. Attempts to hide sin, attempts to justify sin, attempts to ignore sin, attempts to prove to God that he's got other sinners who are worse than you, bigger fish to fry, so you at least deserve a spot in his kingdom based on your own works and self. Sin. The people then were sinners, and you too are a sinner. What is it that sinners deserve? Not Jesus. That's not what they deserve. Not at all. Sinners deserve death. The wages of sin is death, temporal death, death to your body, and eternal death, death to your soul. That's what the people of old deserved. That's what we deserve also. But that's what Jesus takes upon himself. Your death, my death, the people of old's death. Did you see when today's scripture lesson took place? Near a Passover. On a future Passover, a year or two later, Jesus goes back to Jerusalem, and then he does entrust himself to the people. And what do? They arrest him. They try him in a court full of liars. They beat him. They rip out his beard. They strip him naked and mock him, dressed in false purple robes. They beat a crown of thorn into his head. They lead him out of town, and they nail him to a cross. Leave him there to die. To make sure that he's dead, they stab him in the heart, and out flows water and blood. Jesus takes what your sin deserves. He He's put to death for your Pharisaical actions, your Sadducean ways, your self-justification. He dies for your sins. And by his death, your sins are forgiven. By his death, you are made well. He pays the price that you had run up, and he pays it to the full, once and for all. And because he dies in your place, God's wrath is no longer upon you. Because he dies in your place, you have life, and life to the full. And he doesn't stay dead either. He dies for you, yes, but he also rises again on the third day so that you also may live. That even if you face a temporal death before he returns, you will never face an eternal death, but will be raised to life everlasting. So believe in the signs that he does. Believe the truth that they teach, that he is your Savior. Not just in worldly needs, not just in self-justifying. He is your Savior, and in him you have life, life to the full. In him you are made well. And in faith in him, now you entrust yourself into his care. No matter what happens, good or bad, you belong to him. In the name of Jesus, amen.